Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers, tonight we are talking season 6 of Orange is the New Black, talking about Tasty's devastating verdict, Cindy's tough choice, and Caputo just trying to help. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome back to another episode, or recap, I should say, of Orange is the New Black. We're talking season 6 tonight. Some of our other favorite ladies. I feel like I say that every week because everyone's always our favorite. But tonight we're going to be talking about Tasty, Cindy, and not a female, Caputo.
Yeah.
So
arguably,
there you go.
One of the biggest storylines this season. A lot of horror and mistrust and effort. I'm excited to jump into it.
Yeah, me too. I'm April Wissenhant, joined, of course, by my lovely ladies.
What's up, everyone? It's Francesca.
Hey, guys. It's Leslie.
Okay, so this is such a, you know, obviously my favorite, by far the biggest reaction from viewers, fans, the show, the general population, was over this storyline of Tasty. And there are so many different moving parts in it. So it is, you know, of course, we mainly want to talk about your thoughts and our thoughts about it, but it is important for us to, because there's so many, like, different little things. Even I was kind of doing a little refresher before coming here, because it's like, how did Tasty find out that he died and whatever. I want to start off with, though, kind of us talking about it from the beginning. Of course, know that they're all in ADSEG at Max. It kind of really starts off with Cindy, and we've touched on this in a few of our other recaps as well. But of course, Cindy and Suzanne are the ones that see Piscatella's death actually go down. And I kind of actually forgot about them formulating the secret or the story of being in the closet for the whole time.
Or Cindy formulated, and then, you know, Suzanne had no choice but to follow along.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think Suzanne was ever going to, like, be able to keep to that? Because we even see her later in the season. They're trying to get her to come to, once, like, Tasty's already out of ADSEG, and, of course, Cindy is as well. They try to get her to come outside, and she won't go because she's so afraid of making them mad at each other because she's confused about what stories to tell. Do you think it was actually a good idea? Well, clearly it didn't end up being a good idea for her to formulate this story, or what do y'all think?
I don't think it was a good idea at all. I felt like it was a very huge betrayal and something she had to carry. Cindy did the rest of the season. I was really surprised that Suzanne was able to hold on to it, though, for the whole season. Like, she actually did, and I think she had to remove herself from the situation in order to keep that. But I was really surprised at how that played out, for sure.
Yeah, I think if she wasn't in Florida, it probably would have been a little bit harder when she has everyone around her.
The pressure might have gotten
to her. Exactly.
I think with Tasty, it's really interesting. So at the end of last season, we saw her as sort of a negotiator, an advocate for the women in the prison and sort of head writing, you know, leading these negotiations and sort of descend, you know, at the end when things don't go, you know, as planned. And then so at the beginning of the season, she goes from being like she's a leader to now she's sort of the scapegoat and eventually turns into a martyr and a symbol for the movement overall as a whole. So you kind of see her character just take on these different roles throughout the season. And at the end, you know, it doesn't work out again, which is, it was so sad. And but at the same time, this is what happens.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it through her story.
Exactly. You know, it does kind of start with Cindy. And this is why I brought up her making up the story. Because we know that Cindy ends up getting a lawyer through her, the Jewish community, which I'm like, is this a real thing that happens? You just call upon. No, I know, but like.
She has connections, I guess.
I guess. She calls upon the rabbi and Tova gets her lawyer. But, you know, like we know, they are still trying to pinpoint the people who are going to get life sentences or who are just going to get the 10-year sentences. And Cindy fully sticks with the story about she was never in the pool. Never had no idea what it even was. She and Suzanne were in the closet. But then the investigator comes back and says that her fingerprints are on the gun. And it's a total mistake. And I, you know, these are like little details that we can kind of forget because you just think of like the big things that happen. But it was a total mistake of her being him like, well, how if you weren't there, how were your fingerprints on the gun? And her saying, well, I grabbed it from tea. And then that's how Tacy's name ever even got introduced into this. Of course, she tries to backtrack, but they know who T is. So it ends up, you know, long story short, essentially, they say the only way you're going to get immunity whatsoever is if you testify. We can only
sell out your girl, essentially. Right.
We can only use viable testimony. We can't use, like, crap. And so if you want immunity for yourself, this is what we're going to use. And of course, you know, as we know, she ends up going with that. What do you think? There's nothing other to say. Like, what do you think?
Well, there's a lot to unpack because my initial thing was before it was even a question of, you know, selling out Tasty, she sort of formulated this plan of, okay, we're not going to say what we saw with Suzanne. Like, we're not going to say that we saw these officers who dragged the body, who did the cover. They legit overheard this is a plan. We're going to pin it on an inmate. They're like, we're just going to say we didn't see anything. We don't know anything. And I was like, why? That was my first question is sort of guessing, like, why can't you just say, we saw these police officers and they did this. And maybe they don't believe you guys, but now you have it out there and maybe they might look into it. I didn't get that first decision at all.
I still don't because we still know that it would... It's always going to come out, essentially. And I get in the beginning why the thought would come about. Like, oh, they're never going to believe us. And if we say we saw them do it, then they're going to pin it on us. And it is a part of, you know, a big prison community, I would even say almost afterthought, that people are in it for themselves. Now, you formulate friendships and whatever, but... ultimately, no one wants to get extra time, and because the system is so jacked, they were scared enough to think, like, if we even slightly say this, then they're going to pin it on us. So I get it, but obviously, hindsight is 20/20, and that would have been the better decision, but to tell the truth anyway, because no matter what, then it's, oh, you're not a credible witness, Cindy, if you change your story at this point, no one's ever going to listen to you, then you're almost... you know, you're making it even worse.
Yeah.
And it really was hard to watch that because you see her throughout the whole season just feeling so guilty about deciding to stick with that lie. You know, especially like when she's doing her radio show with Flocka. Like, I mean, she has ulcers, right? Yeah. Where she can't even walk and she's saying it's, oh, her back hurts and stuff like that.
The guilt is physically getting to her.
Yeah, And same thing, like, obviously, you know, like, stupid sayings like, snitches get stitches and like stuff like that with, like, that kind of stuff. But really, always, honesty is literally the best way to go because, like you said, everything eventually comes out. And in the end, she ended up screwing herself over and she had to, unfortunately,
testify
against her, like, best friend.
But I do agree that that sentiment of this, you know, nobody wants to be a snitch, I do think it's, like, deeply ingrained in some people, and that might have been part of her motivation for not wanting to say anything. The episode where we saw her flashback of her as a teenager, and, you know, she's dating this boy that she really likes, she gets knocked up by him, and she doesn't tell him, she never tells him, and her rationale to her family is, oh, it's because I really like him.
Yeah.
And it's flawed, and I think she carried that on into her adulthood, this weird thinking like, oh, it's just better not to say anything. It'll keep the status quo, but it's like you're actually harming yourself now. Like, there's a child out there who doesn't know who their real parents are. Mm-hmm. I think later they said that it's her sister that they passed off her kid. And it's also like you're letting this guy who you like get away with, like, he has a girlfriend. That whole, do you guys remember that whole episode where, like, you know, he's ashamed to even be hanging out with her, but these other guys start making fun of his actual girlfriend. He stands up for him and she doesn't do anything. Cindy kind of just lets herself be valued as less than, as disregarded when she sees, like, this guy she likes standing up for someone else. And maybe that just says something to her self-esteem. Like, she doesn't think what she has to say is worth anything for people to hear. But yeah, there's definitely, she's a weird, flawed logic. And I think that episode sort of highlighted it. And it's still frustrating because it's like, just say something. And, and she won't.
And I kept thinking that the whole season, say something, just say something now. And then, of course, at the point that she did, it was way too late. But one of the things that I loved the most about Tasty's backstory is that, you know, we can use excuses after excuses for why things happen to people. Cindy came from, you know, a seemingly great family, what we see, and that's where it really kills, because it's like, no, these, the way that she felt and the things that she was doing, like hiding her pregnancy so the guy wouldn't get mad, like, how do we live in a world where that's okay? And it is very relevant. Like, you hear about things all the time where a girl is gonna, you know, keep something or thinks that she needs to do certain things in order to keep a guy. Have you ever, one time ever, heard of that actually working out? Because I haven't.
Yeah, no.
So why does it still happen? I mean, obviously it's a female thing. I mean, it's not our fault that these ideals or these thoughts or whatever are put out there, but it just kills me for her that she did that and that she kind of grew up with that flawed, like you said, sense of, this isn't a big deal, when it was such a big deal. I mean, she had a baby and, you know, essentially hid it, which, who knows what's in someone's head. And this is a television character, so there's, you know, it is what it is. But it did carry on, clearly, because she, even later when she and Tasty are actually reunited and Tasty's like, what's wrong? You know, you're so down. What's happening? And she, that's when she admits that she's like, I have a baby. And, of course, that's not what's actually bothering her in this moment. But it's still like she needed to release something.
Yeah.
And at that point, I think she thought she was going to say something to Tasty about what really happened, but then
that was an interesting moment, because my initial thought was in agreement, was like, yeah, you know, this isn't actually what's eating at her.
Right.
But maybe it also is at some point, because, you know, in the flashbacks, you see after she has her baby, she goes back out, and then I think she has a parent saying, you know, you have to take care of, you know, the baby. The baby's crying.
Yeah.
And Cindy's kind of just like detached, like she doesn't care about her own child. And maybe that's how she copes with it, is sort of like pretending it's not there. And maybe it was catching up to her at some point. And perhaps she was feeling guilty about this child that she's never claimed, that she's never acknowledged out loud. And, you know, it's slowly coming to the surface. It's weird. And it might have been, who knows, it might have been her infatuation with the guy. It might have been this idea that she can pretend doesn't happen, nothing bad will catch up to her. But I think it is so strange that how you pointed out, it did seem like her parents, she had a good home, and it seemed like her parents were nice. And I think they didn't, you know, discipline her, I guess, very well. But for the most part, her upbringing was very different from Tasty's, who we did see grew up in foster care and, you know, without many options, home or whatever. And it's weird how, I mean, I guess it's like people can end up in similar situations no matter what. Like, there's no one formula, but, you know, it makes me feel like Cindy had other options and maybe she just still somehow ended up down the wrong path.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's important to remember that at this point at the beginning where Cindy has already talked to the investigator and everything, she gets out of ADSEG. Tasty still does not know that Piscatella is even dead.
Yeah.
So, like, Cindy tries to, you know, send her that little note, that crossword puzzle note, which actually was kind of genius. But it doesn't make it to her. And Tasty finds out from when she's getting out of ADSEG. She doesn't even get the chance to talk to the investigator. She finds out by overhearing her public defender say that they already have enough information on her to put her away, you know, to give her the life sentence. So she doesn't even get to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
So we don't see, that's literally how she learns that Piscatella is dead, is by overhearing her public defender say it and that they're pinning it on her. This is where kind of Caputo comes into play. And I'm so curious to hear what y'all think about his efforts. But she contacts him because, you know, she points out to him even, like, she was with Caputo for the majority of the riot, with Caputo and Fig for, I guess, toward the end. She's like, you know, I didn't do this. Please try to help me. You know, he's on the outside. We see that he's obviously very, like, down in the dumps because of everything that happened, and he thinks he's being fired and whatever, but he says he'll try something, and his trying something is talking to Linda. Linda's whole, like, little thing this season is getting the VP job or whatever it was. What she got, which I knew she would get. But she's obviously super pissed at Caputo and tells him that she's not helping because she's just basically full of spite. My question would be, would y'all end up doing the same thing if you were in Linda's position? Remember, she got her head shaved because there was a lice outbreak. And Caputo knew, obviously we know, that she wasn't an actual prisoner, which ended up making it worse because then someone, you know, got away. Do y'all think that you would do the same thing as Linda in that situation and be like, essentially, F you?
I mean, yeah. Okay, so I actually think Linda is the worst person ever.
Yeah, she's terrible.
But, I mean, she has every right to be super pissed at Caputo and go after, you know, what she thinks are her reparations, you know, whether that be a bigger job, better salary, you know, better title, whatnot, and go for it. I think the first scene of, I think it was in the first episode where, you know, they shave her head and, like, they come in 5 seconds too late. It was hilarious. And it was kind of like, you know, I'm still happy that happened because it's like she has to get some, you know, she deserves because she did a bunch of crap also that we're kind of, you know, kind of letting slide by. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That we let it slide by because she is very, like, unimportant. I mean, she is important. She's important to Mission here because Caputo was reaching out to her to try and help Tasty.
Yeah.
And she's in this position now, but she couldn't even hear it. Like, I don't think that, I think she actually might have helped had the situation or had it not been Caputo coming toward her, but she's very quick to remind him, like, I agreed not to sue MCC, but, like, how dare you even ask me for anything? How do you think I'm going to get something from this when it's coming from you? And
exactly.
Of course, I wish she would have been able to do something, or I wish she would have kind of seen past that spite, but I also don't, like, fully knock her for it because, yeah, when it's coming from this one person, Linda's not going to ever be the person that is going to give help to Caputo.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah. Wanted to backtrack a little bit with Tasty. So I feel like in the beginning of this season, she was giving, like, Daya a run for her money as far as, like, people who the guards were beating up on the most.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was awful. Like, she was in a very bad place. And I also think she was dealing with guilt of, like, decisions she made during the riot and when she could have at the end gotten almost everything she wanted. And Caputo sort of reminds her later, but she was still holding out for the officer or the guard that killed Puse. And, you know, that last minute call, you know, right before the shit hit the fan, you know, I feel like she was weighing on it back and forth. And I think it's interesting that, you know, this season I'm glad she did have Caputo in her corner. He could have still been mad at her. And because at the end, you know, she didn't listen to him and he still ended up sort of tied up or whatever. But she had him in her corner, which I think is important because she doesn't have Cindy anymore and she didn't have Suzanne. And I mean, it was their testimonies that gave the DA enough to try her for this murder that, again, she didn't know anything about. So that was, and I feel like a combination of Caputo and all of the letters of support she started to get, I felt like I was so happy that she had that. She had some people in her corner throughout this whole tough, crazy ordeal.
Yeah, because she doesn't have, I mean, she does have a family, but not a family that's going to be able to help in any way, shape, or form. I liked that they showed us throughout the season, or mainly obviously at the beginning of the season, what she was going through guilt-wise, because that is an important thing to remember that she, you know, she was being a little resistant against what, because she felt like what was actually needed or needing to be said was never going to be said. Like, Puse was never going to get the there's no justification for her murder, but she was never going to get, you know, the attention, and the things that they really wanted to be addressed were never going to be addressed. But that's because they were dealing with all that other crap and people being like, well, I want hot Cheetos or whatever it was. You're going to laugh that I said hot Cheetos. I know. But I think that guilt, and then to just be slammed with, oh, by the way, you're going to be, you know, tried for murder of this man you didn't even know was dead, is enough to take anybody down. But Tasty, in true Tasty fashion, still kept going. Now, she did, of course, get the support of her inmates. You know, when she finally gets out of Ad Seg, people are like, oh, my God, Tasty. Yeah. Because they know her as, the face of the riot. The person that they saw on TV was Tasty. And then she, of course, we find out much later anyway, that she is getting all of this fan mail. She even does an interview at one point.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where we see her old friend Ward come in, who, of course, is a CO. And she didn't, at first in the beginning of the season, warm up to Tasty, let's say. I think maybe because, you know, she reminds her of what happened to her in the past, or just what she used to do or who she used to be, which we see later on. But then, you know, they kind of reminisce a little bit, and Tasty pulls at her more emotional side, and they actually get her set up with an interview to do, because Tasty, of course, only has the public defender who is telling Tasty to say that she's guilty because they're thinking she'll get a lesser sentence. But in this interview, it kind of backfires with Ward against her a little bit because she, in the end, they ask her if she has any regrets. And this is one of my favorite scenes. And she's like, I think regrets are for people who have free will. Like, we're just living in here. I'm getting beat every day. My mail's getting gone through. My meal's being skipped, whatever. Like, they're the animals. Yeah. We're just in cages over here. Like, it's, and then Ward kind of goes against her a little bit.
I agree. That was one of my favorite scenes too, because she was dealing with the guilt of like, did I make the right call? I think at the beginning of the season. And I think she would have stayed in a low place had it not been for her seeing that newspaper article where it said, you know, she, after the death of Pusey Washington, or it said her name specifically. And that sort of built her spirit again because, when they were fighting for like hot Cheetos, and they were also fighting for like healthcare and like better facilities and better education classes, all of those things were great. But the first reason, the initial like push into the whole thing was Pusey. Mm-hmm. And so when Tasty felt like she wasn't getting that justice, it's almost like, well, everything else came after. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when she saw that her initial goal of getting her story out there and the tragedy that happened to her, awareness to that sort of got her going again, which I think is great. And I also feel like that's why later she was able to, you know, sort of believe in like what she did and not live in the past. And that's why she says like, oh, you know, I can't have regrets, because at the end of the day, she's making decisions based on very hard, limited choices in a really stringent, you know, situation. So I think her saying that in an interview was very enlightening. And then, obviously Ward didn't take it the wrong way, but that chick, I'm just like, I don't like her.
Yeah.
Because nothing, again, she thinks makes sense. It's like, she's seen Tasty get beat up.
She's a terrible friend.
Okay, am I crazy? I feel like I remember her kind of hitting her at one point, too. Or
She did mean things to her, for sure, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
She kept her mail, or she, like, didn't give her all the fan mail that she was getting or something. Yeah,
after that. But it's like, you know that this person is suffering, and yet somehow you want her to have some weird loyalty towards you?
Right.
It makes no sense. So I was really happy that she said that, even though it gave, it made Ward give her the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
Then also they did all those flashbacks about them when they used to work together in the fast food place. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, again, that just shows you that, if anything, Tasty was way more responsible than she ever was.
Exactly.
And, you know,
a good thinker on her feet with that. There are no cameras. Or
exactly.
Her Jordans, quote unquote.
So, like, the whole situation was, they were late at night at the fast food situation, and then they get robbed. One, because I guess she didn't lock the door after Taster told her to.
Yeah, but and they were high.
And they were high because of her, too. So all of these things, and
I almost feel like Ward also feels guilty, but she feels bad about it, but she's not ready to admit her faults, so in turn she takes it out on Tasty.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to describe that when when you've done wrong and you're so embarrassed mm-hmm. and you just stay like doing mean things because yeah. you're embarrassed.
It's like the guilt from it, essentially. Basically. And people handle that in different ways. Exactly. It's like poking someone on the playground when you're little, even though you shouldn't be. It's almost like that's what she did here. And she went away from that a little bit in the season. You know, we see her. She did actually help her. Like I said, she's the one who got her yeah. to interview and pointed out that they were requesting Tasty for interview. But then it just backfired when Tasty said the bad things about the guards. Because it is, you know, she's putting them in a little box. But also, it's not like she can be like, this guard, this guard, this guard, this guard did this. But it's majority of them as a whole that are doing the terrible things.
And
that
were true things.
And that's how it has to be addressed. You know, there's... Give me any sort of organization, you're going to have some bad people. Guess what? You're also going to have some good right. people. And it's sad that the bad gets overshadowed by the good, which is essentially, you know, what happened with the riot. It's people wanting to, you know, promote change and go after these very important things like the health care and like getting justice for Pusey and everything. But kind of the hoopla was piled on top yeah. and it didn't go the right way. But the good thing that came from this interview is that the ACLU gets involved with Tasty. And she doesn't, of course, she has no idea that this is happening at first, but she shows up for her, I guess, first hearing. Yeah. And she says that she will call herself guilty, even though she's technically not, for being a riot insider, even though she's someone that was negotiating. But, you know, mm-hmm. I guess she felt like she had to give them something, but she refuses to plead guilty for Piscatella's murder. And they're all in the background and cheering, and this is what ultimately gets her an actual lawyer.
Yeah.
A public defender is an actual lawyer, of course, but someone who, you know, is going to go above and beyond for her.
Yeah.
Like, the public defender clearly wasn't, because he was saying... You need to.
Yeah.
Right.
She was like, guilty. Just plead it. I was so happy. I just every step of the way, even though we didn't get the resolution we wanted
right.
for Tasty, because I was like, yeah, just take it to court. Just fight it. Like, just fight it as much as you can. And it sucks because for the public defender, I felt like she was trying to give her the best advice. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I feel like you have to still, at some point, you know, weigh like, should I, you know, just take this plea and, you know, play it safe mm-hmm. and confess to something that I have nothing to do with, or just fight for it and take that risk? And then, of course, there is a risk that comes to it, but you have to, like, sort of, I feel like I was just so proud and excited that she was doing it. Like, she yeah. was willing to, like, fight for this situation. But I wanted to touch on something you said earlier. Yeah, like, sometimes the bad outweighs the good. Mm-hmm. But in the situations with the guards, like, even though maybe only, you know, 3 out of the 10 are actually beating up on inmates.
Yeah.
They all know.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And they are complicit, or they look the other
and
way.
They're and playing then, their,
so it's like
their game.
They're just yeah. as bad. And, you know, even though you could be like, oh, well, I wasn't the one who personally, you know, beat you up or took your food, it's like, you know what's going on. And
right.
so you can't act like, oh, no, we're not all bad. No, yeah, you are. If you are letting this behavior continue
yeah.
and you're not doing anything about it.
Very true. And she does. You know, I think she, in the situation, Ward maybe was trying to help her a little bit at first, but it just didn't end up good. I mean, I thought it was good that she ended up coming to the trial in the end.
Yeah.
But at that point, it's like...
Too much...
Too little, too late.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, also a good thing that Caputo was kind of helping out with was, you know, with the ACLU stuff. And he was kind of always in communication with Tasty
mm-hmm.
throughout her having to wait between her hearings versus, like, the actual verdict and the real trial and everything. But he was there to stand up for her. And so, you know, good on Caputo to do that. When it actually comes down to the trial, which, like, oh, my gosh. Just holy smokes. I thought one of the best episodes.
Yeah.
I thought that they did it so well when it came down to the actual verdict, which we'll get to. But seeing Tasty watch Cindy up on the stand and, you know, saying the things that she had to say,
she
like,
couldn't
yes,
even look at
he
her.
Had the gun, it was so just heart wrenching.
Yeah.
And you can see that it's that way for Cindy. You know, it's not like it's easy for her. We obviously know this. But it's still just to see that friendship essentially, I mean, that's just done, obviously. And the person that you thought was your family, because they've been in
yeah.
this for so long, it's just terrifying. And I don't know. I thought that whenever at the beginning of the trial, whenever they talk about why Tasty is in jail, this was when I was like, oh, maybe this is actually going to go her way. Because they touch on, you know, she's in there for a minor drug charge.
Right.
And is now being, I don't know, what's the word? Like, wherever, steamrolled for yeah. someone else's murder. That she didn't, she literally wasn't in the room or even near it when it happened. Which is just so crazy to me. But so I have to ask y'all. You know, they say in the show that they chose her because she's the one that they saw on TV and she's the one that was doing this. But no matter what the guard said or no matter what testimonies happened, it was always going to be her. Do you think, clearly she's not getting fair treatment in this, but do you think the same thing would have happened no matter who it was? Or do you think it's just because it was her?
I feel like Tacy just got caught up in a really worst case scenario situation where, yeah, she was the face of, you know, the riot because she was heading up the negotiations. And she has, you know, Suzanne and Cindy's testimony that they saw her holding the gun.
Yeah.
And that was enough. Like, there was nothing else remotely close towards any of the other inmates that you could piece together a story of, oh, well, maybe this person did it.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Red, but that sort of didn't work out in that situation. And I think it just, the cards landed the worst for her.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I feel like it's a classic no good deed goes undone mm-hmm. situation, especially because, like, you know, with the riots and everything, she was fighting for Poussey and she was fighting. She was trying to do something right and it just never really worked out. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, she's going to get the shit end of the stick. You know, excuse my French, because, yeah. like you said, now she's a face of the riot, and it's essentially like, well, Piscatella died because of the riot.
Yeah.
So she's, I mean, she's at the forefront, for sure.
I guess I should say, too, do y'all think, you know, Cindy goes back to her lawyer, like I mm-hmm. said, and says she wants to tell the truth, but then she's kind of put into the situation of, you, first of all, not only are you going to get immunity, but then it's going to come after you because your fingerprints are on the gun as well. Is that a smart move of her? Or is, I mean, like, did she do the right thing for herself?
Did
or
who?
Should meet Cindy? Did or Cindy. Should she just have said something?
I think at that point, then yeah, she did the right thing for herself.
Yeah.
Because, like her lawyer said, now you look like you're an unreliable witness, right. and now you're not really going to help her. You're sort of just going to put some more focus back on you. Mm-hmm. I think she should have not done that since the very beginning, mm-hmm. but at that point, it was too late in the game. I think if she really wanted to save her friendship with Tacy, maybe she should have done something differently, but she kind of just looked out for herself at the end and just stuck with it, which is why I'm so happy that Caputo was there this season for Tacy, because I feel like after Cindy's testimony, Tacy mm-hmm. kind of, she sort of breaks down and she's like, I can't do this anymore. If, like, the one person who I thought was my friend doesn't even, you know, she's not even on my side. Nobody's yeah. going to be on my side. And it was Caputo who, like, this roles are reversed from, you know, Tacy trying to get him to be like, no, look, we have to do this. Mm-hmm. And now he's like, no, you have to do this. Like, you have to fight for yourself till the very end. And he sort of gives her that confidence boost speech to get her to give her last, you know, heartfelt testimony yeah. in front of the jury that could have been, you know, her final saving.
Right. I just want to say how much I appreciated Caputo this season, mm-hmm. especially, you know, for this, you know, how he kind of stalks the officer who actually killed yeah. Piscatella at yeah. the coffee yeah. shop. Like, he knew, I mean, you know, he knew what he was doing was, like, probably wasn't the smartest move, but sure. He knows that Tacy didn't do it, and he did not want someone to go down for it, no matter what. Like, he didn't care that Tacy had, like, hit him or whatever during holding him hostage. Like,
yeah.
he wanted to do the right thing. And it's kind of, you know, it goes back to kind of your question, like, what would, I think it was your question, right? What would you do? Would you plead guilty to something that you did? Same thing, like, now we have this officer who did something, and, like, he's in the clear. He doesn't yeah. have to worry about it. So he's sitting pretty, and he, you know, I just hope, like, he feels some guilt, because now all these people are just in situations for just not being honest.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. Like, that was weird, the whole, because he kept coming back after Caputo tracked him down, like, mm-hmm. and he was sitting in on the trial, and...
Exactly. That's why. Sick. Yeah. That's why, like, that's why I thought about it, because in that scene where the verdict, you know, when the verdict goes down, you see him, the camera goes to him and focuses on him, and I was just like, you asshole! Like, you could just, stand up and whatever. Obviously, he would never do that because, like I said, he's in the clear. He doesn't have to worry about it. But again, if everyone would have just been honest from the beginning mm-hmm. and looked out for the whole picture instead of just for themselves, really, they could have got, the guards could have gotten in trouble for beating them. Mm-hmm. That officer would have gotten in trouble for shooting Piscatella. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just so sad because this stuff happens in real life.
Yeah.
All the time.
And I mean, it's not like I expected the dude who actually killed Piscatella to sit there and stand up and be like, "No, it was me.
Arrest me."
because if I'm about to get away with murder, I'm about to get away with murder.
Right.
I mean, I would hope I would be a better person than that, obviously. But you know, getting down to the actual trial, this is where I go so back and forth, or I went so back and forth, I should say, when I was watching the episodes. Because Tasty's testimony and, you know, hearing her story and hearing what she went through and that she's had no violence, but, you know, came from this literally terrible background, had no support, but even through all that, she has still remained positive and whatever. And Tasty can give accurate accounts of exactly what happened. We also know that they've, you know, tried to call in another, what do you call the people who look at the bodies after?
Coroner? Oh,
another coroner. Or no, another... No,
medical...
Like forensic.
Examiner.
Yes. To redo, essentially, the autopsy, because that's, you know, it's another thing that Caputo was trying to help with. Like, please, at least, he got Fig to do it. Like, call in another, whatever they're called. But I don't even think that ended up working out. Or everything was, you know, inconclusive. But that's, I kept thinking, I'm like, he was killed in the hallway, but then they shot him again in the face. Like, there's got to be residue from that. And Fig kind of, she does what she can to try and help, but she also knows, like, if without more push, then they're not going to do anything. Because if you have your person and then a jury, you know, ends up, like we see, finding her guilty, do you keep investigating? Now, I guess you have the appeals process and everything, but like, there's nothing that can be done essentially after that unless you continue to try and call attention to it. But I got sidebarred when I said that. But so we have Tasty with her testimony, and then we have the defense. And the defense essentially says, you know, we have two people say, or multiple people saying that they saw her pointing the gun. Those people are also her friends. Her fingerprints are all over it. So let's ignore the rest of the stuff. We have to pay attention to what we actually have. Did anyone say they saw her shoot the gun? No, but we have multiple sources mm-hmm. there saying that she held the gun. Even me as a viewer watching it, of course I wanted, her testimony was really moving, and I was like, there, she's going to, not guilty, not guilty. Or they're going to go for that, because even the jury looked moved. But then whenever the defense brought their argument, I was like, what do you do if you hear that? So a big topic is, you know, of conversation about the show, and which it always is, you know, is it because of her race? Is it because of, you know, the situation? This was a white man, she's a black woman. Or do you think the jury was just given two flat out instances and they chose the one that they thought made more sense?
I feel like it highlights a situation where Tasty is going into a situation with the deck already stacked against her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like with, you know, many people of color, many low-income people, people with disadvantages. Like, when you are put in a situation where you're already at a disadvantage because all you have all of these things, you know, working against you for Tacy. You know, she didn't have a stable home. She didn't have a stable job or a family. Mm-hmm. And all of those things, like, are already working against her no matter how hard she tried. You know, she was always a positive person. She tried to, like, be responsible and hold on to jobs. And for whatever reason, you get caught up. Mm-hmm. In this situation, yeah, she has a moving testimony. But, you know, all the prosecution has to do is show the pictures of Piscatella's body. And you know what I mean? It's like all of these things are already working against Tasty. And I think that's what the show highlights sometimes is that, you know, in society, sometimes some people are just in situations that make them more disadvantaged or like they have to climb an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Like going to the example of Piper, you know, she was sent back to jail and she got released early, but she already has way more advantages coming in.
Yeah,
you know, she has a family who's going to support her. She's got some money for a good lawyer. And, you know, just even the advantage of like she can get cleaned up and look like a, you know, a pretty white lady and, you know, oh, she's not going to have anything bad against her.
Right.
Whereas like, you know, a jury might look at, you know, someone else and judge them differently. So I think it's just, again, highlighting a situation where you have disadvantages and it's so many factors that play into that. It's not just one thing.
Yeah. And it's crazy that in society today, we still, you know, I like to hope that it's getting better. But I also know that it's not for a whole lot of people. And it's just, it's so unfair. And, you know, oh, life isn't fair, whatever. But no, it's like, when does that cycle end? Like, how does it go from you were just trying to stand up for someone to these people feeling so pressured that, like, you're gonna... It's just the messed up jail system. Because, obviously, if someone felt so pressured that by telling the truth, they're gonna get a life sentence of their own, then, like, of course, what are you gonna do? And then... You know, I know people are going to say I'm crazy, but when presented at the end with the arguments, taking like my emotions for Tasty aside, all you hear is like, oh, that's pretty good evidence. Like multiple people holding the gun directly pointing at him, whatever. How else are they, you know, they hadn't heard another side of information that was hopefully going to be presented. But also because they didn't learn about it until it was too late. Or Caputo didn't learn about it until it was too late. So it's like when you hear the two arguments put against each other, I almost was like, oh, you go guilty. Actually, I thought at least they're going to get a hung jury because you can't, for me, like it's a reasonable or beyond a reasonable doubt. So you have to have that proof. And I was like, there still is no proof. Like, it seems like it should have just gone on for longer. Rather than, you know, the quick verdict. It seems like, you know, okay, people saw her pointing the gun at him, but what happened? They just turned their heads when she shot him? You know what I mean? Like, you can't, it's like people always say, nothing's going to happen without a body. Okay, they had a body here, but the body had also been moved. Like, the investigation, and I know that I'm sure it wasn't as good of as an investigation as it would normally be because they're investigating a prison riot and someone who died there. So are they going to try as hard if it's like a private family that was killed? No, which is it's just another thing. It's like how are people ever going to get ahead if they keep getting put down?
I feel like this conversation could go on for a really long time because it can break down to a bunch of things. But I've been watching a lot of like other like docu-series on Netflix and stuff about, like, trials and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always just think about the jury. Like, they're, like, each side, like, handpicks the jury or tries to handpick the jury, so they're going to go in their favor. So, really, you know, a trial is supposed to be by a jury of your peers, but really it's really not a jury of your peers. And so you never really know which way it can go.
It's typically they try and work it out basically where it's like half and half.
Yeah.
Where someone has these ideals like you killed someone, you're definitely going down for it. Oh, and then they're going to get someone that kind of would appeal to the more sensitive side or whatever. Or the, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, which is how I am. That's what I kept thinking. But just in the way that they ended up shooting the verdict scene, because I literally, my heart when I was watching it just beating out of my chest. It was amazing. I'm almost glad that they did it the way they did with no volume or anything like that, because that's where you see the true devastation on her face.
Very powerful.
Oh, it was so powerful. And just the tears that, of course, immediately come. I even have chills thinking about it right now.
Same.
And then Caputo running after the dude and that we know killed him and hitting him. I think he hit him, right?
I don't remember. Yeah. Honestly. Sorry.
It was just such a letdown because I, for a second, was like, oh, the right thing's going to happen. And then it did.
Yeah.
I hope that we, you know, this is a little bit like prediction-y, but I hope that we end up getting to see the next side of it, meaning like the appeal process and things
what
like
happens
that.
After,
because there is a chance. It sucks that she has to rely on that and, you know, rely on taking a chance with something that may not ever work. Mm-hmm. And it's just giving her more time, and now she's going to always have this on her. But I hope that we at least get to see that.
I hope so, too. And again, it's like a system where there's so many things working against you. Like you said, the jury selection or the fact that you have prison guards working against inmates. And obviously the investigation itself was sloppy because there were so many things they didn't see. Even the fact that Pennsylvania was gone and like you had what's her name?
Linda,
you know, in there. Like, obviously, like, these guys or whoever was overseeing this investigation, the cleanup, all of it, it was sloppy. They did a bad job. And these details got overlooked. Like, oh, you can't realize that this person, Piscatella, got shot later, you know, after the fact from the initial thing that killed him. There's just all these things working against Tasty. And again, representative of bigger issues in society when you have all these things working against you. Then, yeah, like you said, at the end, it's like, well, you almost get why the jury went that way. But it sucks, like, because we know the truth and that's not actually what happened.
And you think you have to trust the people that you send in there to investigate. You know, the SWAT team are the people that were going in there to break everything up. So you have to assume that they're going to be the good, upstanding citizens that they're supposed to be.
Or at least neutral.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, I think there were women in there, too, so it's not a boys' club. But it's like, okay, this happened. They kind of see how it's going to go down. Obviously, it's their fault, so they don't want one of their own. Oh, so let's just make these women go down for it. No big deal.
Thoughtless and terrible.
I know. Since we're super short on time, I do want to briefly touch on Caputo and Fig, who are like officially an item.
I guess so, yeah.
Good or no?
It was kind of that one scene where he's doing the karaoke with her.
I loved it.
Actually really, really cute. And it's like Fig always tries to just be this hard ass all the time. And I love that she kind of like, she told him about a moment in her past with the singer, right? And so he remembers that, and he decides to pull her up on stage. Mm-hmm. Not Courtney. Was it Courtney Cox or Courtney Arquette?
Courtney Cox.
That was a really funny scene.
But, like, I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
It's kind of been a thing the whole time. I'm kind of happy it went
down. He was like, you know, she was planted, right? And she was just like, no, you weren't there. You don't understand.
I know.
But, yeah, no, at first I was like, why are they really? They're hanging out. Like, I thought he was working an angle or something. Like, oh, he's trying to get on her good side so she helps. But I genuinely think, like, there's feelings there. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, I like them.
Same.
So
it was cute.
Fig and Caputo forever.
Someone needs love.
Yes. Francesca, you have some news and gossip for us?
Well, it's just like a little, I was just reading an article that the Hollywood Reporter did with Danielle Brooks, who plays Tasty, and I just, one quote that she said stood out, and it goes to what we're talking about today. She says, "There's a hierarchy in America in the way that we deal with race and color, and it's really refreshing to be on a show that is unafraid to make commentary about the world we live in hopes that people can see, yes, we are different, but we are so much alike."
Oh, that's great. A good, like, note to say. And it's good for her character, you know, to almost end on the way it did, and her be that type of person who can actually, like, voice these things in real life.
By the way, Danielle Brooks, amazing this season. I think she's been killing it the last couple seasons, but this one, I'm just like,
I hope she gets some kind of nomination.
Yeah.
Yes.
She deserves it. She's so great.
Just saying. I think she's having
her reaction in that verdict scene alone. It's just like, give her the awards, please.
Oh, yes. Okay, and we want to quickly do some Tinder to the Max, our special segment.
Yes.
And basically, we're swiping right or left on our girls. So, Tasty.
Right.
Swipe right. That's the good one.
Yeah.
Swipe right is good.
Absolutely. All the way.
Right on Tasty, for sure. Cindy.
You know.
Left. I'm mad at her still.
She's funny. I love the humor, but it's kind of hard after she did what she did, so maybe left.
I might forgive her down the line if Tasty does, but right now I'm still mad at her.
Yeah, I don't hold it against her forever. Maybe I will, but I swipe left as well. And then let's just go Caputo. Suzanne. Dude, right. Crazy good time.
Right all the way. Caputo, right all the way.
Right.
What about Fig?
I'm swiping right on Caputo as well. I'm also swiping right on Fig for this season because she did try to help a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Linda.
Okay. Perfect.
Left. Okay.
Linda left.
Okay, Linda left. We didn't even talk about her. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. Of course, we are so sad for the season to be over, but we do have one more episode next week talking the new girls. In the meantime, y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
And you guys can find me at Leslita Face. I'm Leslie Corral.
Awesome. See y'all next week. Thank you.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.